Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lower Wacker Live for September 23rd, 2019. I'm Justin Kaufman here with the jokes about the local news today. Good weekend. I hope you had a good one. It was pretty good. I mean, the rain kept us indoors. I tried to show my son. He showed just a little interest in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Right? My wife showed none. But my son was like, okay. And so I'm like, let's put it on. It's a rainy day. And I don't know. I was probably just like this, and I'm sure you were too to your parents. But it's just like, I feel like I'm constantly, every time there's like a iconic moment from any of that movie, you look over, he's playing with Legos or something. I'm like, watch the movie. Had to pause it like four times and be like, now what this is the Nazis want to get to the Holy Grail first. So the Holy Grail, see, he went to find the Knights of the First Crusade. So see, oh, let me back up. The First Crusade was about the Christianity. Let me back up. Jesus. Are we done? Can I unpause it? It's ridiculous. That, see, what he's in is a Zeppelin. That's a Zeppelin. It's a big, these were big in the 30s and 40s. I also supposedly embarrassed my family this weekend. And it was an embarrassing moment. It's one of, whenever you make any sort of moment publicly where you feel like you may be more emotional or more impulsive than you want to be, that you look back and you kind of feel like, ugh. I had that kind of moment this week where we were coming out of dinner on Friday night with family and our friend's family. So we're all together, right? I'm crossing the street on Grand over by Ogden. Went to Coal Fire Pizza. It's a great place. We're in the crosswalk. Lyft driver coming dead on, right? And I've got the responsibility of my son, but also their daughter who's there. They kind of were walking ahead with me, and I'm like, oh, geez, this guy's going too fast. And I'm going to slow down, do that thing where they can keep walking, but I'm going to slow down and make sure that this guy knows I'm here. As he's coming up, he's not necessarily slowing down, but he flashes his lights. Like, he hits the brights, which to me is get out of the way, right? You don't realize here comes a car. And I took that personal, right? And he had to slow down as everyone was crossing. And I put my hands up in the air and I went over to the car. I said, what's your problem? In the nicest way possible, using different words. And he said, I was flashing the lights to let you know I was stopping. You could go. What? That's not how it goes. Then you're making up the rules as you go. You're lying. You had a car full of people. And it looks like because I'm being bombastic in my hands up, you know, you're going to hit me. I look like I'm the aggressor, but I'm not. That guy's the aggressor. And I was upset because these are kids. You're 12-year-olds, man. You don't have to flash your lights at us. We know what's happening. It's a crosswalk on Grant. You need to stop. So he goes by, and then afterwards, my wife and son were like, man, you really embarrassed all of us. You're embarrassing behavior. And I was like, what? I'm trying to be the protector. I'm telling you, man. And I said, and they bought the driver's excuse. And my wife was like, yeah, he was probably flipping the lights to say, yeah, it's okay to go. I'm like, that's not universal. What is that, Indiana law? Is that Iowa? What are you talking about? There's never in a case has anyone flashed their lights at me to say, hey, I see you. We're cool. I get it, like, if you're driving, you're sort of like a flash of light. Cabs do that all the time. But you don't need to flash the lights at me to know. I'm already in the crosswalk. It's not like he rolled up, stopped, and flashed the lights. Like, come on. I'm already in the crosswalk. So, yes, it was a little bit of miscommunication, and I don't think that was that out of line. And maybe I shouldn't have ripped the door off of his Ford Focus. Maybe I shouldn't have keyed the side of his car, Bruce Wolf style. I shouldn't have done that. Some embarrassment who loves Sean Connery. I had to explain Sean Connery to Miles. I'm like, Untouchables, you know where it landed? Sean Connery landed? The guy, he's the prototype for the celebrity Jeopardy, the guy who always gets who makes fun of Alex Trebek, you know? They're making fun of Sean Connery. He's like, oh, okay. Like, you've never seen any Sean Connery. And then the beauty of Last Crusade, and we'll move on to the headline, is I was blown away by Spielberg makes that movie look like it's an old movie. Because it's shot in lead up to World War II, and it's Indiana Jones, and it's as it aged, now it's 30 years old. It is essentially mimicking a movie from the 60s, 1989. That's the parody of, or that's the period piece. And now it's 2019, so it looks like, you know, a black and white Errol Flynn type movie. But that's the, you know, that was what it was going for. Now in 2019, you can't tell the difference. You're like, no, this is just all old movies. Like, you can't, the period piece is gone because you're like, nah, it's just old. I don't know what to tell you. Miles is old. Yeah. It takes place in world. I don't know when movies were invented. This was a movie from Nazi time. I don't know what to tell you. All right. That's all I got. All right. I'll say. Here we go. Here are the headlines. What a scary full-on manhunt this weekend as cops tried to apprehend shooter Michael Blackman. He shot back. He wounded an officer. Then he had a shootout right by an empty lot on the south side. Then he got shot a lot. And now he's in custody. I have a couple questions about this case. There was a press conference today. So why did this dude shoot this woman in broad daylight in the back, single shot, targeted? The cops say they don't know because he won't tell them. Okay. But say it might be because he's a Jimmy John's delivery guy and he had a tough time delivering to that building. Go on. Oh, wait. That's all you got? That's it? And they say they have no reason to believe that she was ever confrontational. It was just a security desk. Okay. Really? So what's the woman say? She's not unable to help? Seems like that's still not figured out. And the idea that as a Jimmy John driver, he was having a hard time with security desks, and that made him go take a single shot to a woman walking at lunchtime seems a little absurd, right? Doesn't it seem a little absurd? The way they delivered it in the press conference, too, was so, this is our speculation. This is what we have right now. And I'm like, this is not even a thing. Like, if I came up with that, I'd get laughed out of the room. What if he was a Jimmy John's driver and he had problems with security, the security desk? That's crazy. And then when they went to arrest this dude, he went out the back door and he shot a police officer. That's terrible. Can you elaborate on how that's even possible? I mean, this was after a struggle. But if you knew you were coming to arrest a hitman, a broad daylight hitman, wouldn't it be more than two cops in the front and maybe two cops in the back? I mean, ICE puts more officers on a little village deportation. Again, this dude is a monster psycho who is super, super dangerous. So maybe, I don't know, treat him as such? He allegedly doubled back to shoot at the wounded officer some more. The cops said they got real lucky on this one. Yeah, seems like it. I don't know. I hope this case reveals itself in the next couple days because there's still a lot of unanswered questions. Well, this is the week for the Chicago teachers contract. Coming up on Thursday, the union can authorize a strike. I read an amazing breakdown of what's happening here. The union wants staffing. CPS won't commit to it. CPS instead offers more money, actually more than the union wants. Why? Because the state law says that you can't strike over non-compensatory issues, which is why CTU rejected the pay hike. So CTU and CPS are at a standstill over staffing levels, not unlike nurses or auto union workers. So it's not about the monies. It's not about benefits. It's about challenging how businesses are using the least amount of workers possible to get work done and pad their bottom line. Did I get it? I think I got it. The idea right now is that we're seeing a ton of posturing, and here come the big hitters. Here comes Bernie Sanders. He's coming to town tomorrow. Elizabeth Warren just tweeted out that she's on CTU's side. And Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, is suggesting that, hey, we're giving them a great deal on money. It's all about money. They're going to be the highest paid teachers in the country. Money, money, money. Knowing full well that the issue is not about money. I don't know. Which I find horrendous because, Pete, you can attest to this. We've been in this room since what? For 6 months now? And we start talking about this in July and August. We said, are you seriously not even talking about it right now? That CPS was not even bringing negotiators to the table. Now, Lori Lightfoot has said, hey, we want to negotiate every single day. We've got the resources to negotiate. Why aren't you coming to the table? So weird, right? Why wait to the last minute? It just seems like it's all a scam. Yeah, we'll see what happens on that one, too. Trib editorial today blames people looking at their phones, quote unquote, on the uptick on transit crime. What? Have you ever been jacked on the train, Tribune? I'm not saying that I have, but I don't know. I hope you wrote this from that point of view because it seems like a dumbass thing to say. There's not much you can do when a criminal walks into your train car with intent to rob. Do you believe that eyes up, being diligent, I'd be able to do anything about it? Right? We'll get up and walk to the next car? Have you ever tried to do, like, that's not a thing anymore. You can't do that. The Trib is like your friend who takes martial arts classes. And then you're like, yeah, I got mugged the other day. Oh, really? How was the gun? What was it pointed? Was it pointed to the side? You should have flipped left. You should have kicked to the stomach and flipped left. Are you kidding me? I can't believe that was in the newspaper. Yeah. In sports, all right, the Bears prepping for Monday Night Football tonight against the Washington D.C.'s. I'm not going to call him the other thing. What's this I read on Eddie Pinero being hurt? From kicking. No, did he hurt himself patting himself on the back after doing a good job last week? Oh, it was a minor knee injury in the weight room. Oh, no. Do we have another Todd Sauerbrunn on our hands? This is going to be a jacked kicker? What are you doing in the weight room, man? Bring back Brad Maynard, right? Maynard was never in the weight room. Jeff Jaeger, he's not in the... Robbie Gold's not in the weight room. What are you doing, Eddie? You in there with the defensive guys rolling up your sleeves like, "Launch this, Jack! Help! Help!" What is going on? But I guess he is going to play tonight. He flew to D.C. with the team. Or you're going to see a flurry of two-point conversion attempts. A lot of trickery at the goal line. Ugh. Tonight's a big game for the Bears because they finally get to feast on a bad defense. So we get to see if Mitch was just limited because of competition or just straight-out suckering. The Bears have shined in primetime with Matt Nagy at the helm, but for Bears fans, we get skittish about Monday Night Football. I feel like overall, we usually get embarrassed, right? I think that if you think about the 100 years of football, whatever it's been, 50 years of Monday Night Football, I would say we're more embarrassed than we are the embarrassees or errors, right? Yeah. But like I said, the Bears have done well with Nagy, small sample size, and two losses to the Packers, but still, it's a must win based on yesterday. The Packers, Lions, and Vikings all won, so right now the Bears need to win tonight just to keep pace. What do you even say about the Cubs? We've been doing Lower Whackers since the beginning of the baseball season. There was never a doubt, maybe a little doubt, but never a doubt that the Cubs would be in the playoffs. But we just watched an epic 1969-like meltdown this weekend. The Cardinals swept the Cubs right out of Wrigley and forever altered the course of Chicago baseball on the north side. This will no doubt being the end of Joe Maddon's tenure. To think firing a Cubs manager because he didn't make the playoffs. Now imagine, Theo steps up, he fires Joe. Jed Hoyer, gone, he's going to take the Boston job. And the Cubs start selling off pieces because the Ricketts need more money for the Trump re-election campaign. And the moment that cured 100 years of aching is over. And then Joe signs with the Sox and the Roaring Twenties are all about the South Side, right? Whatever. MLB's loss. Better playoffs when the Cubs are in it. The Nationals and the Brewers will force everyone to say, maybe it's time to catch up on those Brady Bunch renovation shows. So dumb. The only good news is that hopefully Cardinals fans spent a lot of money on that final weekend series in St. Louis because now it's worth nothing. The Cubs are 7 back, 4 out of the wild card. Ain't going to happen. That's tough, man. There'll be plenty of time to discuss the Cubs' failings this year, but what a failed year. Blame it on Joe all you want, but this series is a split or even a win with a closer. Theo went and played Brandon Morrow, and then he paid Craig Kimbrell. It got so bad that the only option for the Cubs was to make Darvish pitch 9 yesterday, and he blew it. That's how bad the bullpen is. Also, the Cubs' stars, Bryant hurt, Rizzo hurt, Baez hurt, Contreras hurt, Zobrist hurt, feelings, but hurt. But then again, blame it on Maddon, but tough to overcome, man. In the meantime, the Sox had a winning weekend with 7 games left. They got to go 5-2 to avoid 90 losses. Not bad. After this weekend, feels like they might be able to do that. They have 3 with the Indians and then 4 at home with the Tigers to finish it out, which is too bad because at this rate, you wish they could just keep playing. Eloy Jimenez has led this team in the last week or so, showing that what we all knew when he arrived. He's become the youngest player in Sox history to hit 30 homers. He did, and does this streak coincide with Ricky finally moving up in the batting order? Seriously. The James McCann cleanup experiment was so stale. Now Jimenez protects Abreu, and voila, dude's a monster. It took all year for Renteria to finally decide on a lineup that most Sox fans on Twitter expected on day one. He had Garcia, Anderson, Abreu, Jimenez, Moncada, and McCann. That's not bad, right? But up to this point, he's been batting Jimenez at 5th and 6th, and that's not the spot for him. Anyway, the lineup harassed Tigers pitching all weekend. Now, again, it's the Tigers, and the Sox pitching would be middle relief in Mexican winter ball, but still, they've been awful. They've been just awful. Dylan Cease pitched very well the other night, but geez Louise, they're down to, they really are. Pretty soon, if you can hit 80 miles per hour on that Sox pitching machine that they have in the concourse, you can pitch the 6th inning for the final season series against the Tigers. Again, the Sox need to go 5-2. It's possible. Essentially, that means they have to win the final 2 series. Interesting factoid that Pete came up with. The 2014 Cubs, the year before they started their big playoff run, they went 73-89. There you go. All right, in college football, Northwestern got shelled at home in Michigan State. What was that? The Wildcats were never in this one and continue to have serious offensive woes. But this is what Northwestern does, I guess. They lose early, lose themselves right out of the race for the national championship, and then they're written off and string off six wins and make a play for third or fourth best in the Big Ten. The table is set up for that to happen again, although they have a tough schedule, including Ohio State, which is coming up. Notre Dame played a pretty good game, only to lose to Georgia, but it was in Georgia, and everyone expected them to get blown out. So losing by, what, six? That's like a win, right? That'll look good at the when they're comparing records at the end of the year. And for a half, it looked like the Illini were legit. They had Nebraska's number until they didn't, and they lost again. So Lovey is 1-2. Ugh. All right, that's it for Lower Wacker Live. Beats by Wes Restless, produced by Pete Zimmerman. We'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.